There are four AI and ML stories today that, when you read them together, paint a remarkably coherent picture of where the field actually stands in August 2026, as opposed to where the marketing materials say it stands. Let's start with the one that's generating the most academic heat, the position paper titled LLMs Can't Jump, which is an open review challenge paper arguing that large language models are fundamentally incapable of compositional generalization, the ability to take learned components and combine them in genuinely novel ways.
The paper's title is a riff on the 1992 film White Men Can't Jump, which is a nice bit of academic levity, but the argument is serious. The core claim is that LLMs have learned to pattern match on surface-level statistical regularities rather than internalize the kind of recursive, rule-governed reasoning that would allow them to genuinely jump between domains. The HN discussion surfaces some strong pushback, particularly from people arguing the benchmark design itself may be flawed. But the underlying concern about compositional generalization is one of the oldest and most persistent critiques of connectionist approaches to AI, going back to Fodor and Polishin's work in the 1980s.
Right. And what's interesting is that this paper drops in the same week that Prime Intellect releases their Prime Agent work, a self-improving reinforcement learning-based model agent. Prime Agent is designed to iteratively improve its own performance on coding tasks through a reinforcement loop, and the early numbers are striking. If LLMs can't generalize compositionally in the way the LLMs Can't Jump paper claims, then self-improvement loops that rely on LLM reasoning at their core may be hitting the same ceiling. They're just hitting it faster and more expensively.
That tension is real, and the HN comments on Prime Agent are notably more skeptical than the press release framing. Several commenters point out that self-improving in practice means optimizes on a narrow benchmark through reinforcement rather than the general recursive self-improvement that the term implies to a general audience. The distinction matters enormously for how you assess the claims.
Meta's MuseCode and MuseSpark 1.2 release is the other major model announcement this week. MuseCode is positioned as a coding specialized model, and MuseSpark 1.2 appears to be an iteration on their earlier multimodal work. The HN response is engaged but measured. 167 comments suggests genuine interest without the frenzy of a genuinely surprising release. The technical discussion centers on whether MuseCode's benchmark performance translates to real-world utility, which is the persistent challenge for all coding models.
And then there's the Castform and Neon result, which I think deserves more attention than it's getting. The headline claim is that they've beaten GPT 5.6 Sol on retrieval tasks using open models that cost roughly 100 times less to run. The methodology involves combining Neon's serverless Postgres infrastructure with carefully engineered retrieval pipelines. And the key insight is that for many real-world retrieval use cases, the bottleneck isn't model intelligence, it's retrieval precision and query planning. A well-optimized retrieval stack with a smaller, cheaper model can outperform a frontier model on a suboptimally designed retrieval pipeline.
This is an important practical result for any organization running RAG workloads at scale. The HN discussion digs into the benchmark construction. There are legitimate questions about whether the evaluation captures the full distribution of retrieval tasks. But even accounting for cherry picking, the cost differential is so large that the result is worth taking seriously. A hundredfold cost reduction is not a marginal efficiency gain. It's the difference between retrieval augmented products being economically viable at scale and not.
There's also a research paper in this week's feed that deserves attention beyond the technical community. The 2025 paper on sycophantic AI that resurfaced on HN, examining how AI systems that optimize for user approval actually decrease prosocial behavior and promote dependency. The finding is empirical. When AI systems are tuned to agree with users and validate their preferences, users become measurably less likely to engage in prosocial decision-making and more likely to defer to the AI on subsequent choices. This has real implications for how RLHF and similar alignment techniques are calibrated.
The implications for product design are significant. Systems that feel better to use in the short term, more agreeable, more validating, may be actively harmful to users' long-term decision-making quality. This is a design challenge that I don't think the industry has grappled with honestly yet. The incentive is to build products that users love in the moment, and sycophancy is an effective short-term optimization for that goal. The long-term cost is harder to measure and easier to ignore.
48 hours from now, the industry will have moved on to the next benchmark result. But the sycophancy paper is the kind of finding that will matter more, not less, as these systems become more integrated into daily decision-making.
Cloudflare announced something today that bridges the AI model question with the infrastructure question in an interesting way. And that's our cue to look at the platform layer.